So, you've decided to unleash this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. Go you. Now, unleash your limitless potential with Fitstop, Australia's most exciting fitness family opens in Perth from Saturday, May 1st. Download the Fitstop app and select Melville.
I'm going to talk about sport.
Are you? Really?
I mean, look, it's a pretty... I mean, it's a long stretch of the bow here to get there, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
Adelaide Oval, Sunday night, St Kilda and Port Adelaide game.
Mm. I'm already impressed.
Right? Yeah. That's AFL for those of you at home.
Kimber, get around it. You've done your research.
There was a chance for a huge mark in the crowd.
Okay.
Came off the boot of a player. Flew through the goals, and straight away the crowd are like, here it comes, it's an opportunity. Two boys in the crowd, and Malachi grabs his brother Sonny and pops him up in the air. Sonny's 5 years old, pops him up in the air to make the mark.
To take a screamer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ball comes in too hard and fast and smacks him in the face.
Oh, dear.
Oh, poor kid.
Is he all right?
And, well, it sounded really bad.
Oh, the collective groan.
Because it was the, yay, here comes the ball, someone's going to take a screamer, and then Alma face.
Okay.
Oh,
Alma face.
So they're sitting right behind the goal. Obviously, the guy's kicking for goal.
Oh, it was a big kick.
Yeah.
It was a long way up. Like, it went a long way.
Yeah.
Took him out. Now, you know, the brother said, I'd already bet my brother $100 he wouldn't be able to catch a ball on the night.
Uh-huh.
So now he said, I'm going to give him 50 because he tried.
It was a good effort.
But this kid was 5 years old and it absolutely clocked him in the face. And he's okay and he's fine and he's like, you know, he's all right. But I want to talk about Almy face.
Oh, I love it.
The
Let's
times
do it.
That some, you know, because if you get a whack in the face, my goodness, sometimes it feels like your nose is never going to recover.
I've copped quite a few, well, I'll rephrase this in a good way, a few sporting balls in the face. Quite a few times.
I'll never forget. This is the story that always does the rounds whenever somebody's getting in the back of a ute. At our mum and dad's house, because my brother, when he was younger, fell out of the back of dad's truck.
What?
And he landed on his face.
Oh.
And mum and dad have the exposed aggregate concrete, you know, with all the stones and stuff.
Oh,
but the
yes.
old school, you yes. know, non-all grano worker has laid it. He's done it himself. There's rocks out everywhere. All that sort. And he's just gone, bang.
Has this forever made you the better looking brother?
A little bit. Always was. No, actually, my brother's the better looking one. Can you believe it?
Can you? What about his feet?
But no bull dust. I'll never forget. Like, his nose was busted.
Oh.
There was blood coming out everywhere. There were bits of concrete and stone stuck in his face. They had to rush him off to emergency.
Oh.
Yeah. Almy face.
Almy face. Give us a call if you've taken a decent injury to the face.
I've got a good one. So, and it's football related, actually. Cannington Primary School.
Yeah.
My last year of primary school. A kid kicked the footy in the air and I went to chase it and I ran into the back. You know those tractors that would pull the mower?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
The mower thing was off, but I ran into the back of the engine, basically, of a tractor. And it was one of those moments where everyone kind of went, you know, when you sort of laugh when you see something where you know the person hasn't really hurt themselves.
Yeah.
These were kids. They're ready to laugh. And I remember everyone on the oval going,
oh, no.
Oh, my God.
It looked bad.
Yeah, and my face was all over the place. It looked like Pete's brother for a moment.
Paul in Osborne Park, what did you do to yourself?
How you going, guys? Good morning. Yeah, I was doing a bit of a cricket training, and I hooked the ball to my left-hand side. It went down legs and it hit the corner pole, came straight back at me, broke my nose, and knocked me out.
Whoa.
Oh, mate.
Gee, it must have been some force behind that.
Oh, I don't know about much force, but it was a fair bit of pace.
Yeah, in the nets, yeah, it's a weird place, the nets, because if it does hit that, if it hits the mesh, great, but there are poles that hold that mesh and it comes back like a comet.
Wow.
Kelly and Kandula, Almy face, what do you got?
Yeah, Almy face, all right. You remember how as a kid you were always told when you put up a rake or anything like that, make sure you put it so you don't tread on it?
Yes.
Yep. Had my kids in bed, it was early in the morning, went outside, decided to get the lawn watered and the gardens done and everything. Walked around, turned to come to the front door and went wham, straight into the rake, and it flipped and hit me in the face.
Whoa.
And I had this massive egg on top of my face, and I went in, woke the kids up and went, oh, I think I really need to go to the doctor's. And, yeah, apparently did sustain a bit of a concussion, but really bad lesson learned out on the face.
Kelly, do you cringe when you see that episode of The Simpsons where Sideshow Bob steps on 1,000 rakes?
Every time. And don't you worry, my kids are growing up and they let me know it all the time now.
Good on you, Kelly. Let's go to Balga. Terry, good morning. Ow, my face.
Ow, my face, okay. When I was about 10, I was doing gymnastics. We went to a gym camp. I saw some older kids doing a Mickey flip off a mini tramp. So I thought, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But my left knee came up and smacked me straight in the mouth, and I had 12 loose teeth.
12?
Oh, Terry, wow.
With your knee?
12.
Oh.
With my left knee.
Oh, you made your dentist stay that day, I tell you. They put a new wing on the holiday home.
The dentist had to put a root filling in because one tooth died.
Oh, wow.
Terry, gee whiz, mate.
Oh, me face,
I mean,
right.
It's sort of impressive. That's the most ridiculous thing about it is I'm like, wow, how did you do that with your knee?
Mm.
Oh, here we go, you guys. Get around it. This is how this works. I've got three different bits of audio montages here from three different years. It's you, Matt, versus you, Kimber. Currently scores a level on six apiece. I'm proud of you both. I really am.
Thank you.
But it is early days, so we do this for the year, once a week for the year. Closest to the pin, best of three wins. Here's the first one.
I love you, Jack.
Don't you say your goodbyes.
Wallace, also known as Biggie Smalls, was shot from a passing vehicle.
Whoa.
Oh, the loss
I did
Biggie.
Not know that any of those went together in the same year.
Right.
I thought they were a long way apart.
Right.
Well, the last thing that Jack was thinking as he slipped below the waves was Mbop. That's for sure. I know that. I can
say
that with
confidence.
I can't
believe that they're the same year.
So it was Titanic, clearly. Biggie Smalls. Been killed.
Yeah.
And Hanson's Mbop. Remember when Hanson came in not so long ago?
Oh, yeah.
And they were all like blokes, like middle-aged
really?
Blokes.
Wow.
Yeah.
With a million kids.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lots
right.
Of kids.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Look, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm...
98.
98.
98.
93.
93?
Oh dear.
I mean, I have no idea. So it's not even.
I mean, my instinct was Mbop 1991, but I don't think the Titanic came out when I was 11.
No, that was 1912.
There is as much space, Kimber, between your answer and the answer as there was on that bloody door at the end of the movie that Jack could have fit on.
So much space that other people could get on it.
1997 it was. Maddie, a point to you.
Really?
Yes.
Bob was 97?
97.
We should all be ashamed of ourselves.
Oh, you guys.
97?
97, yeah. There you go.
I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
That means it came out while I was graduating
high
school.
Nor could Jack. He couldn't. He had quite a few fathoms to deal with. Okay, dang.
All right, here's your second one.
Were you and Jay-Z together before you got married?
Oh, gosh, listen to me. I'm about to start yapping.
We'll do it live! F*** it! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Okay, my goodness me, that last
Was that
one...
Christian Bale losing his mind?
No.
Oh.
It wasn't Christian Bale.
Was it our boss losing their mind? What was that take? Oh, I guess you can't really tell
okay.
us, can you? So
no,
that was...
Oh, maybe.
I'm locking in based on one thing only.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with 2008
mm-hmm.
because I think Womanizer was a really big hit on 92.9 when I first started in radio.
Oh,
who was Womanizer?
The other
by?
Station.
The other station where
okay.
I started.
Was because that was Beyonce, right? Talking about getting married to Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they even knew that.
You're amazing.
Was Womanizer by them? By Beyonce?
No.
I don't know. Okay, look,
it's
I don't
Britney
know.
Britney Spears.
2011.
2011.
Yeah.
It was 2008, Kimber.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
bam.
Thank
you,
radio.
These aren't hearing Britney Spears on 92.9 these days, are you?
Okay.
All right. Let's
Was
go
Britney?
With
okay.
the last one.
Tetris was more addictive than ever before.
Her name
is Samantha Baker, and today is her 16th birthday.
What?
Okay. Oh. I'm guessing Samantha Baker was one of the first IVF babies or like tube baby.
Wow.
I'm guessing.
Mm. Okay.
But also, Tetris.
And... I'm going to go 85.
Mm.
That didn't get a lot of idea. I'm not feeling very confident.
Oh, I've got nothing. No, was, I thought like Doves Cry. I thought that, that song came just... out with the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, so I'm way off.
Wow. You guys are having a morning, aren't you?
Aren't we?
Terrible yeah. today. I'm going to go 82.
Uh-huh. 82.
85.
85.
Yeah.
When Doves Cry by Prince, Tetris was invented. And that was a quote from 16 Candles,
oh,
a movie.
Oh, yes.
So not IVF babies.
With Molly no, Ringwald, wasn't it?
Released in 1984, Maddie!
Oh, dude. Nice one.
I'd like to thank my agent. I'd like to thank God.
And yes, it was Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah,
mm. Yeah, didn't know some of those grabs.
Oh, sorry, mate. That's not my fault. That's not my problem.
Oh, hey, no. That's what this game's helping me learn stuff.
Sorry, can you just pause? Because my score's going up on the board. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Georgia.
Just a moment of silence while we watch that go up.
7-6.
They're the identical twins from Brisbane who named their group after a line from the movie Heathers.
I'm Veronica.
This year, they're releasing two new albums and are headed to Perth in June for a gig at HBF Stadium. Please welcome Lisa and Jess from the Veronicas.
Hi, Veronicas.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
So, Jess is off cam, but Lisa's on cam. Are you in your bedroom at
Hi,
the moment?
Guys. I'm currently in an apartment, but I'm packing up everything. That's why it's like I'm doing my washing over here. I have my toast from down the road. I mean, there's, yeah, I won't show you what's going on, but it's a mess.
Over there.
The glamorous rock star life.
Apparently. Yes. What are you doing in the apartment? What's the deal there?
I'm in Bris Vegas.
Mm.
And Jess is in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Are you guys actually recording from separate locations with your music?
No, no.
No?
All the music's done. It's done with.
Yes.
So we have two albums coming out, Godzilla and Human, and, yeah, they're completely wrapped up now.
I was going to ask you about the release of these two albums because we know that we've got the main, we've got Godzilla coming out, and then again we're going to rock around to the 2nd of July. You're going to bring out Human. Why didn't you hold off for another year? You're like, oh, we can just rest on our laurels for a year and then bring out another album.
Yeah, I think that for us, you know, duality is a really big theme in our lives, musically and personally. And obviously there's two of us and we've created so much new music over the last 6 years. Our fans have waited such a long time that when it came time to pick an album, we almost had these two different sides. We had, you know, writing from a performance perspective and then writing more from like a vulnerable perspective. And so we decided to split the albums thematically into two. So that's what we've done. It was really fun to do that. And now we've also got a tour based around that concept as well. That starts in June nationally. You know, when you're an artist, you get to sort of have fun creating this world. And it was more fun for us to have two albums.
And I mean, that is a big break between studio albums, isn't it? I've often heard them refer to the difficult third album, which I believe Godzilla is for you guys as a studio album. So, I mean,
yeah.
Did you have plenty
it's
of material?
The fourth,
or
actually.
What, beg your pardon?
It's the fourth and fifth.
Is it? Oh, okay, okay.
We had a third album. A third album. Obviously, it was difficult because you don't remember it.
Sorry.
It's the invisible album. It's the invisible album.
It's the silent album.
Yeah, we don't like to talk about that one.
So I brought up like a really sore subject.
Don't worry, it was me agreeing with you. I'd forgotten we had it too. I was like, yes, this is like, yeah, it's a third album.
I was actually going to say, you know, it must take quite a lot of strength to not bring out material until you're ready to do it, because presumably there's a lot of pressure from fans, from record companies to say, come on, let's get something out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you've had a career as long as ours, it's been almost 16 years now since we released our first album. I think the most important thing to do is to make sure that you're staying authentic to your artistry. And, you know, we love to experiment and that takes time. Lisa and I call it inspired writing, and we like to do inspired writing. We don't want to, you know, get to that point where you get in a room and you're trying to force yourself to write songs for radio or what you think other people are expecting, because that's when the art becomes a bit diluted. And so for us, yeah, we sort of have historically taken our time a little bit with music. But
yeah, I think that's also understanding that, you know, there's the Veronicas, but then there's life.
Sure.
Life happens. Yes. And sometimes you have to take a moment to pause and be with the ones you love, or, you know, take some time for yourself. And that is such an important part of being able to be creative in a room as
Guys,
well.
Guys, you're so. Blowing my mind. I thought the Veronicas was life.
Well, it is life. It is 24/7, because even when you're on a day off, it's, you know, you go out and about and you're still a Veronica, or, yeah. You know, we're constantly writing. So regardless of if we're releasing music, we're getting together and we're singing and we're writing. And
in comparison to how long it takes to create a record versus consuming it, it's like a couple hours worth of music, but it takes, you know, years to make. And so I think that with the internet, we consume so rapidly, so quickly now, that we forget how long it takes to actually create something. There's a lot of artists who will have a group of songwriters in a room writing all their songs for their album, whereas we probably can't afford that. So we've got to go in and do it ourselves.
We'd love to, though. If we could, we would be doing it, though, wouldn't we?
The DJ 5000. Yep. Amazing. Well, over 500 million streams, can't be wrong. The Veronica's brand new single, Life of the Party, featuring All Day, available everywhere now. To pre-order the new albums and to see the Veronica's live on their Godzilla versus Human National Tour, head to theveronicas.com for tickets and more info. Bloody nice to catch up with you, girls. You take care.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
They're the high school best mates competing for $100,000 in the third series of Lego Masters, which started this week on Nine. Please welcome Perth boys, Owen and Scott.
Good morning to you, boys.
Morning, guys. Morning, Perth.
Hey, Scotty, have you managed to get the Shaka recognised as a genuine unit of measurement yet?
I am trying to get it through, but no, I haven't got it. It hasn't been recognised yet, no.
Speaking of your hands, how do you go with it? Because you guys have been big fans of Lego for a long time. It's not unusual for you to sit down and play with Lego, but for this concentrated long periods of time, are you really starting to feel that your fingers are going?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's part of training. I did lots of rock climbing before we went on the show, trying to train up those finger muscles, get those fingers calloused up, ready to go. But yeah, like after some of these 17-hour builds and stuff, you'd definitely go home to the hotel and put your fingers in an ice bath.
I was going to say, I've seen timers on there 8 hours and more. What's the process across the course of that build? Are they giving you breaks, or are you literally in there for 8 hours straight?
It's exactly like a marathon. And sometimes they won't even let you go to the toilet. And in the end, it's just a horrible smelling place to be.
Oh, God.
So have you been happy with your build so far? Are they, because it's, you know, I'd imagine in your head you think, I'm going to build this. And sometimes it doesn't come to fruition. But has it also surpassed what you guys were hoping to create?
Yeah, for sure, man. Any chance to play with Lego is just a good time. And we just got the chance to do it on TV. So we loved it, man.
I saw the peacock with a hammerhead shark has been my favourite build that you guys have done so far. Do you guys get to keep that afterwards, or does it just get disassembled and thrown back in the pile?
It just gets disassembled and thrown back in the pile, unfortunately. I think they keep a few choice ones, is my understanding, but we saw them all when we filmed and then haven't seen them since.
Oh, it must be heartbreaking seeing them pulled apart.
Yeah, I think part of that is the nature of Lego, though. You build something, but at home, only you get to see it. So it's kind of like Lego at home on steroids, because this way you can share it with everyone, and at the end of the day, you don't have to pull it to pieces yourself, and someone else sorts it back out for you. So it's kind of bittersweet, but it definitely has its perks.
At my house, I've got a fair few pieces on display, because I love collecting the Nintendo and the Star Wars ones. And in fact, we just put a wall unit into the girls' playroom, and I've got a glass cabinet in there that's full of Lego pieces that I've built. And it was an ongoing conversation between myself and my wife as to whether or not I was allowed to have that space to show off my builds. Have you guys got that going on in your own homes?
I've just got like one of the Lego bonsais, and I keep that in my TV room, and that's about it.
I share my space with my partner, and the sharing is slowly, with the help of Lego Masters, started to become more one way in favour of Lego displays, which has been really good.
Nice. Well, boys, good luck with the rest of the builds and the rest of the season as well. It's bloody brilliant watching this stuff come together. Lego Masters, Sundays at 7, Mondays and Tuesday at 7:30 on Channel 9. Thanks for joining us, Owen and Scott.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Have a good day.
Hey, I'm a bit, I feel like I've been through the ringer today.
Yeah.
Had a very stressful day yesterday, afternoon and evening, which involved me rushing my beautiful wife, T, to the emergency department at Royal Perth Hospital.
Oh,
now,
God.
For those listening, I know there are people who know my beautiful wife and she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that despite really kind of serious, scary kind of symptoms, that it looks like it was something viral and she's been run down and whatnot. And so obviously, you know, we'll see doctors and tests to continue, but she's home. And but I, for the first time, you know, we hear these stories about going to emergency departments, and nothing that I'm about to say here is anything against our health workers.
No.
Because I know it must be a chaotic place to work, and they save lives each and every day.
And probably not as rewarding a job as it should be.
No, quite right. But I have to say, I felt completely freaked out by my experience in the emergency department yesterday.
Yeah, right.
So basically, to cut a long story short, we're at home. My wife said, I'm not feeling great. We lay down on the bed. She went, I'm really not feeling right. Something's wrong. I've got pain in my head. I'm feeling a bit sort of dizzy and tingly, you know, down one side of my body. And, you know, I got thinking of all kinds of things,
oh,
you know.
Of course, that's scary.
Get in the car. She says she's feeling worse, you know, and I don't know what to do. And it was like a Hollywood film.
Yeah.
You know, I pulled up into the ambulance bay, you know, expecting people to rush out. And people did come out, but they were clearly kind of going, who is this dude? And I understand
that. And can
you
move your car, sir?
Quiet, you know, and they took her in. And then I did move the car to find a parking spot, came back, couldn't find her for a moment. And I'm in triage, and I'm sorry to those people that I upset in triage because I didn't know there was a system.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
There were people.
Have you never been to emergency
well,
before?
Well, not for a long time.
Right, okay.
And you know, so there were people sitting there and I'm desperately trying to get some answers, get someone to see my wife.
And you're not sure whether you're supposed to walk up to the counter or whether you're supposed to wait for someone to come and get you.
That's right. And there were people who were sitting down who then got up and said, oi, I'm waiting to see this triage nurse. And I'm just freaking out going, what the hell do I do in this situation? And I you know, and as you sort of calm down, you start to, you know, process all this. And I'm looking at the staff behind these very, you know, these desks and the glass and whatnot. And I feel like these poor people have been so, had to deal with so many awful situations in emergency, both critical care and also violent people, drug affected people,
mm-hmm.
that they've slowly distance themselves further and further.
Yep.
And you know, I made the analogy early this morning. When you walk into a bank, and I know that this isn't possible in an ED, but you know, these days you get that sort of maitre d', that first person going to you, what do you need?
What do you need? Where can I direct you? Yeah.
And I was bereft. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. And there was no one there to kind of go, all right, mate, what's your story? Okay, this is your wife. We know she's here. We'll deal. You know, you just sit down. We know. And it was traumatic. And
just sort of reassurance from the outset.
Yeah.
And I would love to say to you, maybe this is just something that you experienced as a one-off. But, I mean, there's been quite a few times where we've rushed our kids into emergency and have you know, it's seen the exact same thing.
I don't know how you feel. I mean, you know, look, we talk about the government today are announcing $700 million for military equipment. We're talking about how well the state's doing. And if our health workers are saying that they're under-resourced, and if that's was an example on a Tuesday afternoon of how busy they are in ED, as I say, we're very fortunate because it looks like it's all fine. But I was a wreck, and I guess I hadn't experienced feeling so helpless and not knowing where to turn in that situation. So,
I think that's the thing too, is as you say, it's a lot of people feeling scared and not knowing what is going on, and that's for you. Like they can't, they're just doing their jobs. So
yes.
They're actually efficiently doing what they need to do and seeing who they need to do,
what they
need to, you know, prioritise. But on the other side of that is your emotional distress because you're like, someone's relying on me and I'm the person who has to fix everything right
that's
now and
I
don't
felt.
Know. If I feel ungrounded, I don't know what's going on, you know.
But we need those defences, mate.
Yeah.
You know, we need those. I say that with irony, because I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. $750 million they'll announce today.
Mm.
And yet, Ambo ramping here is just shocking.
Your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast may have finished, but your chance to enjoy functional group training with a strong focus on progression is about to begin. FitStop opens in Perth from Saturday, May 1st. Download the FitStop app and select Melville. Mix 94.